Hey, we're back. .NETConf 2018. I'm here with Kathleen Dollard. I am Beth Massey. I am the product marketing manager for the .NET platform. And Kathleen.
I am a project program manager, on the .NET Core team. And I do CLI SDK. I do some languages stuff and some other things. But today, I'm just doing .NET Core, SDK, and CLI.
Oh, that's amazing. Okay, so I just want to say, Kathleen, I have been, like, you've been my hero, my .NET hero. I've known Kathleen since I started .NET programming back in 2002.
Wow.
I bought a book of yours, and you it was Code Generation in .NET, and over the years, like, I met you. I remember meeting you and just being like, oh, my God, this is Kathleen Dollard. Wow.
You're making me blush.
And then we got to know each other. Yeah. We became friends. We got our ears pierced together.
We did. We've had piercings together.
Yeah, we've had piercings together. I mean, like, so.
Yeah, and
now
you're
here. And you're at Microsoft
now. I work for Microsoft.
So how's it been so far? It's been here for a year.
So it has been fantastic. I just can't say enough good things about the folks I work with. I work with so many smart, good people that have so many great ideas, and we just try to find time to execute on enough of them. So,
that's awesome. Yeah. All right, so you're working on the .NET Core tools. Is that what CLI is?
Yeah, so the CLI stands for Command Line Interface. So it's the tools. It's when you're typing stuff. And, you know, I've been around forever, and it's like I would never have thought that I would be back doing this typing command line stuff, especially that I'd be
organizing. The world comes full circle, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. It's amazing, absolutely amazing. But it's because it's an efficient way to get things done, and that's why we've come back to it after a long journey. You know, there was decades where you could program without really hardly ever typing at a command line. And you still can if you're working in Visual Studio, but it's really helpful to be able to drop down to the command line, even if you're a Visual Studio developer. And if you're a Visual Studio code, you generally will be dropping to the command line, or if you use a different editor, because you don't have to use one of our editors.
Does Visual Studio, like, use the command line at the core, or, like, is it kind of like, is it directing it, or?
Well, you know, it depends a little bit on what you're doing, but in general, not.
Okay.
Because in general, what we've got is a wrapper inside Visual Studio for the things that are being done, and then the CLI is another wrapper. Rather than having two wrappers, we sort of shortcut things. And then there's a few things like MS Build that I'll talk about that are actually a little bit different, depending on which direction you're using. So
Fair enough.
A little bit different approach.
But it's good to know what the CLI is doing, so you really kind of know what Visual Studio kind of does, and you know a little bit more about how things work, right?
I think that's true, especially for things like Publish, but a lot of it really parallels fairly closely what you do. Publish is a little bit different, and then there's a little bit, you're a little bit clearer on when you're doing a pack, and Restore can now be a little bit more explicit. So there's some things that are just more direct, it's the same stuff. It's not new concepts, it's just new ways of accessing
Looks like the .NET bot
concepts.
Uses the CLI,
the
actually.
.NET bot,
give me some .NET bot, people!
I like big bots,
and I cannot lie. Let's go, people. Yeah, all right, we got
bots,
.NET bots on the Twitch stream.
It's smart if we have time to show you a bot. We might show a bot later. Yeah, I might show a bot later.
All right, .NET bot. Yes. All right, let's get your presentation there, then. Why don't we get started, all right?
Okay, so I'm going to start out talking about how you pick your SDK.
Okay.
And something called global.json that some people know a lot about, and some people misunderstand, and some people have never ever heard of. So let's start with global.json.
Okay.
So this is a file on your in your project, in your repo, that's going to say what SDK you're going to pick. So let's take a look at the command line. We'll jump down here for a minute. And I'll start out by just saying .NET, and when you want to know what's going on, --help is always great, so then you can find out what's available. In this case, what we want to do, because we want to look at a global.json, is I'm going to create, actually first let me just create a new directory. That seems like such a logical thing to do. And I'll just call it .NETconf, and I'll just go into that directory. Now I'm going to create a global.json file just to show you one quick way to create it, which is .NET new. And .NET new will always create whatever it is next if I wanted to do. I'm just going to do -h. I can get a list of the templates that are available.
Cool.
So right now what
there's a lot of them.
Yeah, there's a bunch of them. And there's a lot more available that are on NuGet. You can go to NuGet and search for templates. We are working on a better experience for being able to find both templates and the global tools I'll talk about later.
Okay.
Right now, those are a little bit harder work than obviously would be great. So I'm going to say .nu global.json. I think I have to say global.json. Maybe it's supposed to just be one word. I'm looking under that second column near the bottom, and it says global.json, so I'll just make it one word. Okay, so it says it was successfully created, and based on that, and I'm just going to, let me see if I can pull the bottom of that up just a little way. It's not behaving itself very well. I just want to bring that up a little bit so it's not sitting quite at the bottom of your screen, just in case somebody's got, hey, you know, I can bring that up and show off .NET Conf for
you. Okay, we can put our pretty faces back there then.
Look at that. Look at that. I can get the bot there for you. Okay. All right, so I have set code up so that I can just say code dot. And that's going to let me take a look at the actual code of the global.json I just made. Okay, so all it does is say a version. And let me make that bigger. Nobody can see that. So it's just going to say the version that we're currently using. And that's the latest version on my machine. I can change that to a different version if I want to run a different version. So the way I find out what's on my machine, and my machine, can you even imagine what happens when you list all the versions on my machine?
Because you're testing every single one of them for 15 years ago, right?
So I apologize. Okay. It's going to be a little carried away. Your machine's not going to look
like
this.
Whoa, hello.
Bad.
Okay.
But .NET Info started right... I'm trying to find where it started. It started...
Right there. There's your SDKs installed.
Yeah, right here.
Oh, there it is.
There it is. Okay, so it's... I'll just... no, I can't get that down. Sorry. I'm not thinking on that one. Okay, so we'll just get it in there somewhere. Okay, so it tells you when it says version, that's going to be the latest one, which is the one that runs right now if I just say .NET something. Okay, now I can change which one runs by modifying the global.json. So I could make it 300 or a different version.
Cool.
So you rarely want to do that.
Don't you, like, what if you want to just use the latest version?
You don't do anything.
Okay.
Okay, this is why this is why I said some people misunderstand global.json.
Okay.
Because I think for most people, just use the latest.
Right.
We have a pretty good track record. It was sort of got added just in case we messed up so that you could like
or if you really were relying on something in a specific version.
So this is the way people use it, and for some people it's a really good idea. And that's if you're trying to do a deterministic build, which means today, tomorrow, the day after, it is exactly the same.
Okay.
And some people need that. And if that's what you need, you do want to use a global.json because it's going to pin you down and you're going to keep running exactly the same version day after day after day, not, wham, somebody updated the machine, we're running something different.
I see. Okay. All
right. Now, because that wasn't really the driving force when it was created, it doesn't do exactly what I said. Okay.
All right.
And so we're aware that global.json, I mean, if people are out there going, oh, that's just messed up, we know global.json needs some attention. We just have a pile of things we're trying to get to, and it's
so what's the edge case then?
It goes forward on patches. So this is good or bad, depending on your perspective.
Okay.
So if you think, yes, of course I want those security patches. What are you talking about? Of course. So if I had 2.1.300 in the in my global.json, there is a 2.1.301. There might be a 302. I know there's a 301. So it would run the latest one that it would run the one it found on the machine if the one you specified is not there.
I see.
So if your whole system is locked down to never change, then you will get the same one every time. But if you had...
So you really can only control to the minor version. Is that what you're saying?
You can. Well, we have to be careful when we start saying minor.
You're saying I get patches, right?
Okay, yes.
Okay.
The only reason that I'm looking odd on this is because...
starting a version conversation.
We are starting a version conversation.
Okay.
Earlier than we meant to. But I'll just real quickly say
this. You mentioned
it. The major, the normal, what's normally considered the major and minor version position, 2.1, is locked to the runtime.
Okay.
And that's because programmers need to know that this SDK works with that runtime.
Totally makes
sense.
That
is not what we initially did. We got them out of sync a few times.
Whoops.
It was massively confusing. And then we had trouble on trouble's not the right word. We had challenges on the conversion into the system we're using right now.
Okay.
So starting at 2.1.300, then the 2.1 part aligns between the SDK and the runtime. So this is going to stay this way. So this is just like, we think we're there, okay? So 2.1 is actually the runtime major minor.
Okay.
And then the 301, the 300 and 301, that first position, that 3,
yeah,
or that 4, okay, those numbers are the SDK feature level.
Okay.
Okay. And so I want to say feature level here because minor minor second position after the first stop.
In a way, know? Like you're trying to make it, the tools and the runtime make sense to me. When I get, I'm new to .NET, I am like, I want 2.2, so I should get 2.2.2 everything, right? And then the patch version numbers, I'm just like, whatever. Okay.
Right. So what we generally think for most people, what we think is best to do is figure out what runtime you're running, and 2.2 is still in preview. So today it would be 2.1. And get your 2.1, you can get the SDK and the runtime together, download them together, and that's going to give you the latest SDK, and it aligns with that runtime.
Okay, so does everybody get that?
Yeah, we get a lot of questions.
Does everybody get that? Okay, cool. All right.
I'll get to Global Tools.
We'll get to Global Tools. Kathleen.net awesome. Global Tools and templates are awesome. Using it in Bionic, very powerful. Nice job.
Okay.
All right, what are we looking at again? What are we doing?
Okay. So we've just done global.json. So,
yeah.
And I did .info. .net-info
tells you everything.
Gives you a lot of information, and it's a place that if you don't know what operating system you're running, you probably know that elsewhere.
We
tell you again, and
we
tell you what the
grid,
which is runtime identifier, which is the way that .NET Core expresses what you're currently running.
Okay.
So, and we've got the base path and some other things in there. Okay, so let's come back over here. And this is just, my slide deck just kind of restates what I've already said. And that rolls forward only on the patch version.
Okay.
It will otherwise give you an error. Now, there is another reason some people just came in 2.1 that you may be using global.json, mm-hmm. and I'm not going to go into this, but if you hear about custom tasks and targets or a custom SDK, it's new tasks and targets that are coming in, and that's also defined in a global.json.
Okay.
And the way this works is it just starts at wherever you did the command, and it walks up your directory tree until it either finds one or gets to the top. So that is that's global.json.
That seems like totally normal.
Okay. So now you've got your SDK.
Okay.
So that was what this was about. And what I didn't say that if you look for download .NET Core, you should be able to find that and get the latest SDK.
.NET Core, just go to www.dot.net.
Yeah, do you want me to do that?
Go there.
All right, let's do it. I've got a couple things up that I'll be looking at later.
Yeah, we try to make the experience super easy on the website here.
.NET Core.
Just say .dot. .net. .net. Banff. Yeah, that's it. It's the website. Go there. .net. There you go. Well, they're okay. There you go. Or,
is that it?
Or yeah, that's it.
That's
or search for it.
I just said D-O-T.
That's it.
It's a search.
D-O-T.
And
wow.
Search, okay?
You know, are you kidding me? D-O-T in Bing brings up .net's website?
D-O-T-N-E-T.
Okay, yeah.
D-O-T-N-E-T.
Okay, in search. Yes, that's good because that is the name of the website.
And it does. I'm on a Mac, I think.
Yeah, there you go.
We should be good from there.
All right, and that's how you
And then if you do want an older one, you can scroll down, and there's a lot of versions available. Just get the latest.
Oh, this is a good question. How do I purge all of my old SDK and runtime versions from my system?
I think it's up. I know we're working on a docs. So Microsoft docs is docs.microsoft.com is absolutely fantastic. And I believe that we are up. I know we've been working on an article that says how do you kill them. It depends on your...
You throw the machine out.
No.
Buy a new one.
No. You can see I haven't gone around doing it.
Okay.
So if you're on Windows, it's an uninstall.
Okay.
All right. If you're
it's
however you get rid of stuff on your machine.
Can you just delete stuff like right off disk or something?
We have things a few places. So you can. I don't know if it's. You might be cleaner.
So you can only do it on Ubuntu apparently. If that way.
Yeah.
But, okay.
Yeah. So yes,
all right.
You can.
So if you're on a Windows machine, you go to programs.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got it. All right.
Okay, so what I wanted to do today was to kind of walk through a little deeper, and I should just actually make an application here, because it's super easy to make an application, but then that's boring. There's nothing else to say about it. So I'm just going to make a console app here. So I'll just do a quick clear this out for you. And I'm going to say .NET new console. Okay. And I'm going to put that. I'm under .NET conf, but I'm going to go one level down. And I can say dash O, or I can say dash dash output. If you're from Windows, that's the POSIX standard that we adopted, which is part of Unix, and it's just a little bit overall more consistent than what was going on in Windows, so we decided to go that route.
Okay.
.NET new console output, I need to call it something, so let's call it Hello World. Okay. Wait just a second, does some restore. Again, I'm just going to say code dot, and I'll come up there. Now, I'm one level up where I put the global.json. Here's the directory I just created. It's where I was when I typed code space dot.
Okay.
And now we'll look at the program file. Yay, isn't that exciting? We'll just close that. So there we go. It just needs to restore some things because it's new. Okay. There we go. That's it. Okay.
So it creates, like, it's a template for an application.
That's a template.
Yeah.
All right, there you so go. Now if you want a console application, you can go to town. There's other templates, as you saw, but we're just going to keep things super simple today. So
cool.
I just wanted to have an application out there that we could play with. So creating an application is super simple. You've seen stuff here at .NET Conf about where we're going with ASP.NET Core
yeah.
and some of the other things we're doing. People probably heard that part of .NET Core 3 is going to be WinForms and WPF.
Yeah, we're bringing desktop. We're making
so
desktop
happy.
Modern.
It's all modern. It's great.
It's coming to the new runtime.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I like it.
So all of those things have been discussed elsewhere. And I'm going to just, you know, let that sit, and I'm not going to, like, try to make the app any more complicated than this. What I want to do, though, is just talk a little bit about how things run, a little bit more detail on the CLI and SDK.
Like what's happening.
Yeah, but I also want to say that just like global.json, you know, for most people, most of the time, just ignore it. You don't need one. But the same thing goes here. I'm going to go a little deeper than most people need to worry about just to show a little bit more about what's going on.
Let's do it.
Okay. So let's come back over here. So I'm going to talk a little bit about the project system and MS Build. So some of you may have heard that we changed the project system twice.
Who heard that out there? Anybody?
Oh, yeah, so
it's fine.
So the old project system, OPS does not stand for old, it stands for original. So there's
is that what OPS stands for?
I believe
for
so.
Real? We
I
use
think
way
does.
Too many acronyms here.
We do.
I was thinking OPS, is that a file
so,
format?
So I think part of the great thing here is that we internally, it's too easy to say old just because old and new, but it's not old and new.
It's OGPS, the original gangsta project system.
All right, let's do it. Let's call it that. So the thing is that the original system is perfectly fine. It's just complicated.
Yeah.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
So there was reasons to update it.
Are you
but
talking about the XML thing?
Oh, yeah,
yeah,
the XML
yeah,
thing.
Like with the GUIDs and the thing
yeah.
you're never, ever, ever supposed to touch the thing because no one could understand it anyways. Is
well,
that one?
Yeah.
Or, okay.
Except if you're a VB coder, you have to change
yeah.
your
you
language
your
version. But we're working on that, too.
Right.
So, yeah, it's big and
okay.
it's ugly. And you don't want to have to
all
go
right.
in there and
so back in the .NET framework, like...
Right,
projects.
That was what,
okay.
that's when it started, and it was originally a file. You were never, ever going to look at it, so it could
right.
look horrible, and it does. And so
gotcha.
Then project.json
it really just tells Visual Studio, like, how to, like, what solutions are in there, and projects, and files, and all that stuff, right? It was really for VS, right?
Yes, and
okay.
just to correct you,
right.
though,
yeah?
just to correct you a little bit,
okay.
it's mostly for MS Build.
Okay.
Okay,
sorry.
So MS Build runs by Visual Studio. Visual Studio accesses MS
Fair.
Build
okay.
to do that work.
Fair. Got
Visual
it.
Studio
no,
also
that's a
uses
good point.
It, but I just want to be a little bit precise on that.
Very good point.
So we have the original project system, okay, and then along came SP.NET early versions, you know, of Core.
When we were playing
and
with it, trying to get it cross-platform, and we were trying to think of a better format.
And one of the things that was done there is it's like, we've got to make this thing simple. It is stupid complicated.
Okay.
So there's ideas about globbing that are very common now in the industry. Globbing just means you can use a star and get everything that matches instead of having to list every single file.
Okay.
So that was one of the things that really needed to go. So they came along with project.json. Okay, but the problem was is that was a new project system that was only going to work in certain cases. It wasn't going to work for everybody everywhere.
So we have like 4 million .NET developers out there,
they
and they're like all of a sudden,
it.
Like,
yeah,
I can't use this.
And they're like,
built.
They're like, we want that globbing stuff.
We want
the good stuff.
Yeah.
We want to be able to read our files.
So we need the best of both worlds.
We need the best of both worlds. So the project system was evolved to be a new project system, which is called, I had to write it down,
CPS.
The common project system, because I want to call it the current project system. And that sounds like there might be another one.
CPS.
We hope not. So it's called the Common Project System.
Okay.
And it's called Common because the MS Build that it works with actually can handle the original and the common. It can handle
So you
both
can hand edit this thing. It makes sense now.
The new one, yeah.
Okay, you shouldn't have to
use
a tool.
Do you want to take a look
at it? Yeah, let's take a look at it.
So I just built this so we could. So I'll go ahead and just give us a little bit more room here because we don't need to see the bot anymore. Let's hide the bot. I'm not killing it. That's it. That's all you need.
Oh, okay.
And in fact, it could be quite a complex project and that'd still be all you need because it knows, well, you know, if you didn't tell me differently, we think you want to use star.cs.
So everything in the folder
are
the files there.
Right.
Okay.
So we think that everything underneath this, you know, in this tree structure that is a .cs, if you don't tell us anything else, that's what you want. Because that's what you want.
So don't put anything you don't want in the project in the folder.
Like, well, you can exclude
you
it.
You can
there
exclude.
Is an exclude.
Oh,
there
that's
an
nice. Okay,
way.
Then we do
so,
exclude.
So there's things you can do.
All right.
Gotcha. So massively simpler, just not a little bit simpler, massively simpler.
Okay, that's nice.
And so this new file, the new project system is just great all the way around when you can, you know, whenever you can use it, which is on .NET Core.
Core, okay.
Right. So
And Visual Studio actually lets us edit it too now, right?
I mean, yeah, like, it does.
Without having
it
to unload and reload.
The whole unload
and
the whole thing, you don't have to do that anymore. It is still XML.
Okay.
But I am a huge fan of XML, and for, you know, folks that want to argue with me.
It was the first book I read from you.
Yeah. We won't talk about XSL2 today. XML allows comments, and it allows a very clear two levels of information. It allows the actual node, and it allows attributes on the node, and those two levels working together can make for very simple explanations of the importance and what things relate to. So it's a nice system for a project system for anything with some complexity to it. And you know,
did we still need to change MS Build a little bit to read this?
Well,
thing?
It's a new MS Build. We have two MS Builds now.
Okay, so
there's two.
I was going to say, like, we changed the format, so we had to change the
which
build
is
system
why
a little
there's
bit.
The new Common Project system can read both original files and common files.
Okay.
And the old one has no idea.
Because it's old.
About the common file system.
Okay.
So it can't use them. Right.
All right.
So because there's two build systems, you might need to access them both from the CLI. Could happen.
You could do that.
You can. And this was actually, I asked on Twitter for some people who could, you know, have some questions that maybe we'd want to answer today. And I hope you're keeping up with what we're getting asked here, because I don't want to.
I'm totally keeping
that
up. They're actually just saying how much they love XML up there.
Yeah. All right. So anyway, the question was, when do you use .NET Build and when do you MS Build /T?
Okay.
I've forgotten what slash T is for. I'm sorry, I forgot. But that's the way you, on the command line with .NET CLI, you do msbuild slash T, and I don't remember what the slash T stands for. Sorry about that.
Too legit.
If somebody on the team is watching, you can jump in here and remind me what slash T stands for. But anyway, this just talks about the different, what each one of them does. So if you say .NET Build, you're using the .NET Core, which is that common project system, the newer system, you're using that build system. If you say MS Build, you're using the older original system, the .NET for .NET framework. So that's a difference.
Okay.
And then there's some other things up there. There's some defaults that seem logical, like you actually don't want to forget the restore step, because then your build isn't what you thought it was going to be. And
so automatically restores when you do a build.
Yeah,
that makes
which
sense.
Which Visual Studio does,
okay,
and you
right,
may be
right.
quite used to doing.
Because it didn't do that before, right?
Yeah,
had,
for a while
yeah,
it didn't.
Yeah, okay.
For a while
so
it
I remember
didn't.
Like,
yeah,
well, why am I doing this? Okay.
Yeah, and it was a very easy mistake
okay.
to make.
So that's nice.
Yeah. So it does some things, minimizes the verbosity, and is parallel by default, and just various little things. The original file system doesn't do parallel builds, which are particularly important when doing multi-targeting,
okay.
because you can spin
yeah.
up several at once, and that can really reduce the time. And we are constantly trying to make that better. We know we will never be fast enough, but we're going to...
But we did speed up build time significantly in 2.1, right? Okay,
2.1.
We actually, someone actually says the T command can specify a target.
A target,
I'm using it right now, actually.
All right, okay, great.
All right,
okay.
So thank you for the education.
So now I'm just not quite sure why you would need a...
Why do you need it without specifying the target?
Yeah.
Next question.
So it could have just been the way an email came to me and I may be confused. Okay, sorry about that. Because I actually double checked this one. I asked
target?
For us on this one.
What would be the point? Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Totally
good point.
Target is also defined in the project. So
all right. Well, the key point to the slide though is that .NET Build is doing some things for us by default. That makes sense. So,
right.
Okay,
and you probably want .NET Build almost all the time.
Okay.
So that's probably what you want.
Cool.
And then any additional, you can pass a lot of extra stuff on down to the. There's quite a few switches you can put on that.
Okay.
Okay.
Cool.
So we just did that. Let's go forward. Before we go on, let me go ahead and build the thing we wrote. So I'm going to say .NET build. Okay. Ta-da!
Yeah.
It built.
Woo!
Okay. Actually, it didn't build.
What is it? So you have an error.
Yeah, I have an error.
They have,
and
oh,
people
look, it's
at
an
home
MS
probably
builder.
Have figured out what it is. I'm not in the right place. So
/t? No, I'm kidding.
No,
I'm totally kidding.
That's good. No, I decided to create this as Hello World, and I was not in the Hello World directory. So it's going, we have no idea. We do not see a project file. So would you mind telling us what we should do? And I could have done this a few other ways. I could have told it where the file was, but instead I just changed the directory. And now when I say build, it should come back, and it's doing the restore, and it says build succeeded, which
Got
is
it.
What I wanted to see.
Okay, so you either need to be in the directory, or you need to specify where the project or solution file is to build. That totally
yeah.
makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. User error.
See?
Got it.
Should I change it and say hello.net conf, or are you good?
Yeah, change it and say hello.net conf. Or we like bots. Where are the bots, people?
You want
bots? We
want
bots.
Do you need bots?
We all love bots.
You know, I can tell you where there's bots, so I can go get bots. Is it like
we
this?
We like big bots.
Is that the way you want me to brand
yeah,
it?
There you go. Let's do
like
it. Let's do it.
All right. So you really want bots?
Yeah. Let's go ahead. Just say .NET conf. Because, you know, like, okay, honestly, you haven't actually written a line of code yet.
I changed the line of code.
You just changed the line of code.
I changed the line of code. So let me that just is how I make sure that the save happened, is to leave it and go
so
back.
So this isn't a fake demo. We can do what?
Oh, it is a fake demo.
Hello world. I mean, you got to build this again, right? Awesome. Now run it.
Oh wait, what happened here?
What? Did,
oh dear, now we're in trouble.
What happened? Did you save the file?
I thought I did. Let's get rid of the release notes. It's looking saved.
Are you in like another directory possibly that you practiced? You're a practice
it certainly
directory.
Certainly is possible since you, but I didn't think so. .NET conf, hello world. Somebody home sees our problem. We're not going to stay on this too long, but I am a little bit confused right now.
What directory
because
is?
Because it looks I am in .NET conf hello world. I've got those guys there. I don't know why. I can tell you why.
Why?
You are absolutely right. I messed myself up.
You are in the wrong directory. You're like in test or something.
No, I'm not in the wrong directory, but
what?
I messed myself up.
What'd
with
you do?
My. This is not how you run an application. I just spaced
what?
On this. This is not how you run this application. I'm going to talk more about this. But this is a DLL. So if we actually, let's do something to make our life a little bit easier here. I'm going to go back to this build.
Okay.
And I'm going to say, I'm going to give it an output directory, which I'm going to call fd app, I'll explain later why I'm calling it that. And so now I should be able to kill the bin in OBJ directories. And I want to show what's in that directory. So I just called it FD app. And so now this is where my output of the build just went. And I'll tell you why Hello World worked in just a minute, because that is really the real question right now is why did Hello World work? So if you see here, there's a couple of files, but you will see that there is no executable file.
Right, okay.
Because by default,
we build DLLs.
.NET Core builds DLLs, not executables. Okay? So what I need to do to actually run this, and let's do that first, is to say .NET, and then I need to give it the from here, how do I find that executable? And I'm not in the FD app directory, so I'll say that first, and then I'll say hello world, and then I'll say DLL. And now I should say hello.NET conf. Okay? Now, step one.
Okay.
How did Hello World ever work? Is the question you got?
Exactly what I'm asking.
This is where I messed myself up from my practicing for my demo. Okay, I happen to have, and I'll get back to what this means.
You had a practice directory somewhere.
No, I have a global tool because I could never have run. I could never run a DLL based on that. Okay, I have a global tool that is called Hello World.
I see.
Which was a
overwriting you just now, basically.
So we'll get back to more about what global tool is. It's something that it's a console app.
Okay.
That when we install it, we put a special shim on it so that it acts like an executable. And I'll talk more about that shim and what we're doing with that whole idea.
Okay.
So with the shim on that, and then we put it into your path. Okay, so what a global tool is an executable that we help you create that goes onto your path, into a special location on your path, and then from any place on your machine on that path, any shell where that path is active, you're going to be able to run that global tool.
So like the community can create global tools and you just plug right in, and it's like it makes the CLI extensible.
It absolutely makes the CLI extensible, and we do the install comes through NuGet. So we already have a good place to go put them, so people can find them. We're definitely still working through kinks on this, particularly they're hard to find right now.
Okay.
We don't yet have a good search, and that it's just because we have to coordinate a lot to make that happen. But if you go to NuGet, and we're working on being able to search for tools.
I think we need somebody in the community to just create like globaltools.net.
You know what? We've got a little bit of help from that. Nate McMasters has a GitHub site where people can add their tools. But we've talked about a desire to download, and I mean, we could help somebody write that part, to go to NuGet every day or every hour.
Pull the tools.
Pull them all down.
Maybe we should do that. I don't know.
Right, maybe we should. But then we need to run a website someplace that has that. So
I don't know. We got a few, like .NET, maybe.
You know, honestly, I know this sounds a little insane, but it would be a great global tool to find global tools, okay? So
that's so meta, Kathleen.
It's so meta. But if somebody wants to work on that, we just need, you know, a website someplace that has has the ability to, you know, give back a list, preferably with some stats and ownership. They can give a list in a global tool that can then just display those. So we haven't written that yet. We know this is badly needed, but it's, you know, if somebody wants to write that, just
I'll give it a shot. I got a lot of, like, maybe time during Christmas.
Do you?
All right. I was thinking of rewriting the .NET conf site myself during Christmas, I can add this to the list.
This is definitely on our work item to have a more complete answer for this. We're kind of muddling along on that side of it. But that's what happened. It's why when I typed Hello World,
discover.net.
We
could put it there. You know, that guy's site is super awesome.
Is it?
Discover.net.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
Get in touch with me because I'm all over trying to solve this one.
Absolutely.
So I have an executable in my path called Hello World. That's the only reason that this worked. Should I make that even bigger?
You can make it a little bigger.
So that's the reason Hello World worked. To actually run this, what I need to do is .NET. Then I need to give the path to the DLL, which is FD app, and then hello world, and then I need to give the DLL as well. And now the .NET is an application, of course, and that application can do several different things, one of which is act as an app host to run, as it is right now, to run a DLL. All right. So
there we go. All right.
I'm actually glad we made that mistake.
Because we could explain
it sounds good.
Our
it sounds
mistakes.
Good that we, yeah, glad we made good. It. Okay, so let's talk about that. And this really should not be executable, as I should have named this section a little bit more like running stuff. And you just saw one way, the common way to run stuff. And so it's like, I want to go fix my slide here. It's really annoying me that much. Are you going to let me fix my slide?
Wow, you're going to do live edits to PowerPoint now?
I'm going to do live edits to PowerPoint.
Whoa, hold on.
Your app. Okay, because that's just, it was a terrible name. And it's just, I don't want to go to my boot camp. Okay, come on, start that. Come on.
Did it work?
It's black. It's black. Is it coming back? It's not coming back.
Build PowerPoint.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh.
See, I don't think we should have tried that.
I think we did the wrong thing. Oh, my gosh.
There you go. You're running your
app. It's flipping out. I've got two different things on the two different screens. Oh, boy. All right. Okay. Wow. Really, it's not on my screen.
Well, you got it there.
Okay. Well, we'll see how it goes. Okay, so.
Told you. Live editing.
Live editing was a bad idea.
It's a live show, people.
Yeah, I'm not seeing this on my monitor, really seriously.
It says my boot camp on it.
I've got my parallels partition. Oops. Is that okay? Unfortunately, I'm not. Okay.
I think we just locked it up.
No, it's not that bad.
Okay,
I'm just like
you're
in
back.
Presenter mode. I think I'm back. Ah, there we go.
All right.
Okay.
Woo.
What you just saw was a framework-dependent app, and there was absolutely no.
What's a framework-dependent
it's
app?
It's a Friday afternoon, so I have no idea what's in that bottle. All right.
Me neither.
Okay, it was a framework-dependent app. That's what you just saw. Okay, so it's got a simple published directory. It was small. You have to type the name of it and all apps share the same copy of the framework. This is super important because it's going to go and run the runtime now. We talked about how to get the right SDK earlier. Now we're talking about what runtime is going to be in place.
Okay.
So every app on the machine can use the same version of the framework. So I'm saying that a little bit too generally because you will normally...
It can, but it doesn't have to, right?
It can because the project file normally lists what your target framework is, so what version of the framework you want to run against.
Okay.
So one app might be running against 2.0 and one might be running against 2.1.
Okay.
All good. Okay. So, and in ASP.NET in particular, this is good because you may have many apps on one machine. Also means that your operations team determines when you have an updated version of the runtime.
Okay.
So if a patch comes out, then the operations team decides whether or not
to apply it.
You're going
to
apply that. Okay. So the next thing that we've got is called a self-contained app, okay? A self-contained app is an executable, and I'm going to build one in just a second. It's got a rather large published directory. We can take a look at that. It does create an executable. It does create a very big hello world. I think it's about 250 megabytes. It's great for a standalone deploy. So if what you want is to create an application, and it's going to go run off on just like... It's going to run someplace, and you don't want to ever have to worry about putting the runtime there separately. It carries it along with it.
So it's like an entire folder, though, of stuff, isn't it? Right? It's not a single exe.
I'll show you that in just a second. And one thing I want to point out here is that you see that it says -r, and that stands for the runtime that you're the framework that you're running against. Or it's actually the platform, I'm sorry, that you're running on. And so with .NET Publish, then if you say -r, then it's going to go for that specific platform. So let's take a look and see what that's going to look like. Is this going to come up? It didn't come up. Let's
try going like a...
Kill. I need to kill. I'm up in...
Can you go into presentation mode?
I'm trying to get out of presentation mode.
So if you... Well, you're in feature. I don't know.
Yeah, there's not where you want to be.
You're on a Mac, so it's usually Windows P, but I don't know.
Yeah, the problem is I don't have a. There, I have it. We're going to end the show again, and we're going to.
Yeah, maybe that was it.
Try to find. There we go.
Hey, I see your screen.
And
now.
Then
there
I'll start back up in just a minute after we do this.
All right.
All right. Okay. So what I want to do is .NET publish, the publish only puts things into the right output directory when you're just doing a framework-dependent app because there's not that much to it. But now we're going to say -r, and I'm on OS X 64. Trying to remember what the RID is. I'll tell you what you do when you can't remember.
RID, runtime ID?
Runtime identifier,
Fire.
Right.
Okay.
And there's a list, a runtime identifier list. So you can go here and say there's the Windows, there's Linux. And if we scroll down, we're going to see the Mac ones. So it's OS X-X64. That looked like a lot of X's in my head, so I tried to take one out.
There you go.
Okay. And now we're going to do an output to, and we're going to just call this self-contained app. So we'll create a new directory, and that way we're going to be able to compare the two. All right?
Cool.
So we get another successful build. And oh, is it published? That's why we didn't get build succeeded.
Oh, published.
Right. Okay, so I'm going to
say. So now we have a folder of stuff.
Right. So this is, again, the framework-dependent app. Okay. And this is the self-contained app.
Okay. So we have we take that whole folder and we can put it on another Mac that doesn't have any .NET on it, and it'll run.
But look.
Is that what you're saying?
Yes, we absolutely can, but look.
It's a lot of stuff.
Yeah. All right. So this is great for some situations, okay? But these two together really aren't everything that we should have. We have some more things coming, and that's why that next slide says future.
I want one EXE, Kathleen. Can we do that?
We're working on it, but that's not where we're going to go next. Oh, come on. Please behave. This is just so crazy.
All right. We got a question while you're figuring that out.
Please.
What if we want to make a JIT compiler interpreter for .NET Core? The goal is to run... I'm thinking ASP.NET apps or .NET apps without recompiling all the app every time we save a file, probably ASP.NET. Instead, we compile in the runtime only what we need to run, just like PHP. Is that applicable? If so, what do we need to know to accomplish that? So they basically want to just like save an ASP.NET app and have it compile automatically.
I will tell you that I have kind of a knee-jerk reaction that that's going to be super hard, but I also know that some of the folks that work on the compiler team blow me away sometimes.
They're pretty smart, huh?
Yeah, oh yeah. So basically, we have an incremental compiler. It builds this big, you know, syntax semantic trees, mm-hmm. and then it normally outputs, and we run from there. You'd have to hold that, basically, because the way that this strongly typed language works is you've got to kind of have all your references. You have to be able to get the whole nine yards there to completely interpret the semantics of it. And so that it's going to be, I'm not going to say it's impossible, but it would more or less be a way that we, because browsing would just have to kind of keep being there.
Wouldn't we be able to I don't know, when you save the file, like do background compile?
Well, some of the background, so you could do something like that.
Know,
right.
Maybe that would help the scenario at least.
Right, right. And I don't know that scenario, the CLI scenario. Right now we do spin up the process and kill it, spin up the process and kill it. And we've done a little bit of work with some background stuff to get some of the JIT to speed things up. But sometimes I do wake up at night and wonder whether we should actually be keeping something running in the background for the purpose of performance and some other things.
Let's just talk to Rodrigo Compera.
All right.
Hey, we are working on it.
Awesome. All right. Awesome. Great. Fantastic. So let's go back to my slides for a second. So I want to talk about framework-dependent executable. And so this is, it has a simple published directory. The executable gets created, and apps share a framework. Okay, and it rolls forward. So it's got the best of these two worlds together.
Okay.
What we basically do is that an executable has to be specific to the platform it's running on. An executable can't be just like anything. The DLLs we're creating, they can run anywhere. But an executable has to be created for this particular platform.
Right.
And so what wound up happening, and we put it out first with Global Tools because it just happened, we could control the creation very carefully there because we're in charge of that process. So we created the shim that we use for Global Tools. Mm-hmm. That was the first place we saw this. And now this is going to be coming out in either 2.2 or 3.0. I don't know what milestone we're hitting it on. But this is the way you get to that, and I'm actually going to skip showing you what's in the directory, but it's almost like the first directory where we just had the DLL and a couple of other things. There's a DLL and an executable because we're creating that shim for you that still calls in, but you have to be RID specific now. Yeah, I'm platform specific now because you have to say where you're going to run it. So the DLL can still run anywhere. But you need to create the EXE piece has to be for the platform you're running on
okay.
because that's what brings in the right the framework for that current platform.
Gotcha. So you have automated builds. You probably are building all this, like, that's if you, like, so there's two ways to think about it, right? Like, I could say, well, maybe I just give them a DLL and have it JIT, like, or maybe I want to, like, pre-compile it all together and, for a specific platform. Is that, like,
all of this is pre-JIT.
Okay.
So this is just going to be, how do we get the IL bits onto the right machine? So we're just, because we have to point out the app host, that shim that we create as this executable, this new thing, it has to go out and get the right copy of the runtime.
Okay.
That wasn't a problem with self-contained because it just used the one that's already in the directory.
Right.
Use everything that's already in the directory.
Okay.
And so that was the challenge of getting that done, and that work is now, it's done. And if you have nightly builds, you can take a look at it. And it's just going to be a little tiny bit bigger than the, and we know this is something people have been waiting for, and we're very excited that we've got it at a point that we're comfortable releasing it, because we know it means that you can start looking at, we have to do some work to do things like in Windows, being able to put an icon on and stuff like that.
I got you.
This is just kind of a simple little executable.
Okay.
All
cool.
right.
Awesome.
Let's see what else we've got here today. I'm going to, this is another future. We have in preview a linker. So this is another way you can work with self-contained apps.
That's what I'm really wondering. Yeah, what's going on with the linker?
The linker.
Yeah.
So the linker is still in preview. Okay.
All right.
It's still on MyGet, and you can find out about it at that link.
Okay.
And then it removes unused assemblies, which means it might break your code. All right. So use this carefully.
The reason we're moving carefully is because.
There are scenarios, absolutely, you will break in production, and we can't guarantee that's not down some side path that doesn't happen until your vice president.
Well, I mean, that's why it's a preview. But you could try it on a copy of your production
and
let us know if it works or not.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And test it and look at it. There's some certain areas we know is broken. If you have something that it's broken on that you think it should work on, but we're not ready to make this a default because we don't want to break anybody. So we'll be working on this and figuring out the best way to introduce it. I think that the technology, that's fantastic. The teams have worked very well on that. I think that the technology is good, but we don't quite have the right way to incorporate it.
We need more feedback.
That'd be great. We just did a survey on that.
Cool.
So, you know, I'm going to, like, really fly
through. We'll vote the CEO out. Like, that's a comment. Yeah.
All right. I'm going to be kind of light on tools because we already
saw
one.
Yeah,
I'm just going to talk about how this works, and because I'm a little afraid of having my machine go. We have a little slide problem there, but that's okay.
It's cool.
All right, so global tools. Let's talk about global tools. Global tools are available right now. You get them by saying .NET tool install /g my tool. /g stands for global. And yes, the implication is we will do local tools, and that's consistent with NPM. We don't want you to have to think two different ways, one when you're doing NPM package management and one when you're doing .NET package management. So we use NuGet with all the NuGet things, including NuGet config, so you can go to your own feeds. You can go to whatever your own feeds are. You can go locally if you like. So this is installed in your path. I talked about this earlier. It's a framework-dependent app that we build a shim for, which provides the app host so that you can just run it, which is why I could just run Hello World. So we've already seen this.
Right.
Okay.
Accidentally.
Yeah, so we got that. Okay. We're just a little ahead there. So we're coming, we're still working on the details, but we're working on details of what will be local tools. For a while, we call this repo tools, but we honestly don't know where your repo is, so we can't, it sounds like we know, and we don't, so we're just going to call it local tools. And this works differently. So it won't have a G, it might have a local, but we're leaning right now to just like NPM, if you don't have G, it's local. So that's where we're leaning right now.
Okay.
Again, we don't want you to have to think differently when you come to .NET land. Also from NuGet, and there's a repo manifest now. And so what we expect to have happen is that from whenever you run a command, it will start looking. If you say, and you'll say .NET for this, because you have to be in our world. We have to have code running. So .NET space, and then if it's Hello World, .NET space Hello World, and then it would look up the directory stack for a repo manifest. We're still working on what to call that. And then when it finds one, it will find out where to go get it, which will be in the NuGet cache, so that you can control how things are on your machine. You can share it. You don't have one for every copy. So
yeah.
The manifest will be repo-based is what we expect, and then we'll store it in NuGet. And it will still be a framework-dependent app with a shim. So all that will be the same. Oops. Version numbers, we already kind of talked about that one.
I think
we can skip that. This just
we're making it better.
You can talk about it more.
Yeah.
You can read more about it.
Yeah. Read more about it.
You can talk about it if you want.
Fixing it all.
And, we don't need that.
We already did demos, didn't we?
Okay, I'm just trying to get to my last slide.
Oh, my gosh.
There it is. There's my last
slide. All right.
This was fantastic, actually.
So, all right. Looks like we have people just talking amongst themselves right now, helping each other out, actually. Everybody, any questions out there? Somebody's searching for some mono PR number, so hopefully they can figure that out themselves. I'm not really sure what they're talking about.
Sounds like maybe somebody had mentioned it earlier. I did not mention a mono PR number.
Sounds like somebody has a global tool there, too.
We took the mono linker,
okay.
And then we kind of .NET-ified it. So it is.
But Mono's .NET too, right?
It is.
All right.
But it was just brought more into .NET Core, and it was created. It's a NuGet package on MyGet. And .NET-Core.Linker is what I think, aka .MS.
Okay.
Do you want me to
try it out?
To go find that? I can maybe find
that
right here.
Yeah, maybe.
Hang on just a second.
If it's handy, it's a question.
Well, if I can find my mouse, it'll be handy. But
there's your mouse. It's flying on the screen there.
My mouse keeps just being whacked. All right, so
here's a question. Does the .exe file still included on the 2.2 publish? Or is the .exe file still included on the 2.2 publish? I would assume 2.2 preview.
The linker was, I'm sorry, I just went past the linker again. Just a second, I'm getting to the linker for you. The linker is on this slide. There you go. There's the link.
Okay,
that's
the linker.
The one you wanted.
Okay. So yeah,
okay.
The EXE file still, is the EXE file still included in the 2.2 publish?
Is it still? If it was, it should be.
It should be?
I said I wasn't sure whether that was in 2.2 or 3. If it is in 2.2 already, it won't. I don't think it'll be pulled out. I don't think that would happen.
Yeah, we just released preview 2 on Wednesday. So, do you know offhand what's on preview 2?
I do not know.
Okay,
it might just be coming.
I didn't track down.
Okay. Which version that's in. I apologize for that. Give it a shot. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So I guess we are done. I just want to give you a big hug because
it's so good
I miss
to see you.
I love you so much. All right, guys. Thank you so much for a great show, a great conference. And we have coming up, I think we got some game development coming up.
We do. It's fantastic.
All right, guys.
All right.
Whoop. See ya.